Greetings and welcome to Christ in Prophecy from the headquarters of Lamb and Lion Ministries north of Dallas, Texas. I'm Tim Moore, director and senior evangelist, and I'm joined by our internet evangelist and my good friend, Dr. Nathan Jones. Well, Nathan, every few years, spiritual hunger seems to grow in America. It's often stirred up by a national tragedy or a global event, and it leads people to wonder whether America might be swept up into a real revival. We've experienced it nearly 25 years ago in the aftermath of 9/11, and just 1 year ago in the wake of the tragic murder of Charlie Kirk.
Well, many Christians are asking, could we be on the threshold of a revival? Church attendance is ticking upward in some places. There are reports of young people returning to the faith and prayer movements gaining traction. At the same time, hostility towards biblical values continues to be pervasive, and the political season ahead threatens to reignite fierce divisions we've seen in the recent years. So what does Bible prophecy tell us about this moment? What does God's Word say about the spiritual condition of our nation and about the possibility of genuine, lasting revival?
You know, today on the program, we're going to take that question seriously, not from a political vantage point, but from the only vantage point that really matters, God's Word. We'll look at what Scripture reveals about the end times condition of society and the church, examine the biblical case for and against a pre-rapture revival, and most importantly, we'll anchor our hope where it always belongs, not in elections, not in movements, but in the person and promises of Jesus Christ.
We'll get started in just a moment. In the meantime, Tim and I would like to invite you to learn more about Bible prophecy and to sign up for our free Lamplighter magazine by going to our website at christinprophecy.org. You'll find a wealth of information about God's prophetic word, teachings, both in radio, television, podcasts, social media, you name it. Go to our website, christinprophecy.org, or click the Lamb Lion app. And if we've been a blessing to you, please click that donate button. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment.
Want to know what the Bible has to say about advancing technology, wars in Israel, natural disasters, rapid changes in society, and the end times? To get a trustworthy biblical perspective, keep listening to our radio program, watch Christ in Prophecy TV, and read the Lamplighter magazine. It's all available online at christinprophecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. You know, Nathan, one of the most common questions we get here at Lamb and Lion Ministries is whether we think America will experience a nationwide revival, meaning before the rapture. And our consistent answer is no. We do not see how our culture would tolerate, let alone be receptive to, a widespread major spiritual awakening. At the same time, we want to be clear that with God, all things are possible.
Yeah. Sadly, the evidence points to what the Bible says will happen, and that's a growing apostasy, more virulent rebellion against God. It's all supposed to happen in the end times. This is why Jesus asked rhetorically, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Luke 18:8. So let's begin with an honest diagnosis. What does the Bible really say about the spiritual condition of society and the church in the last days?
You know, I think that's a very important question because it's one thing to say we are wishful and hopeful that there would be a major revival, and certainly we do wish and hope that that could happen, but we want to be informed by Scripture so that we don't have some false hope, and our hope only in Christ should tell us not to just look around for hope in the world. In regard to Bible prophecy, Scripture tells us, as Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that the last days will be perilous times when men are characterized by self-love, pride, and a form of godliness that denies its power. And Nathan, we're seeing that running rampant in our culture. A love of self, this self-esteem movement run amok, even a love of money and mammon, and a love of pleasure, hedonism. And that seems to, again, summarize our society. And just recently, of course, not quite as flagrant as recent years, but there's a whole month when culturally our society seems to celebrate this idea of pride, whereas just a few generations ago, it would have recognized that pride was a deadly sin and really the foundation of all the other sins. And now we celebrate pride.
Yeah, pride comes before the fall, as the Bible teaches. Well, it's interesting to look at 2 Timothy 3 and see the context. The context is the last days and what the apostles and Jesus were teaching. The last days is the last days of the church age leading up to the return of Christ. So just as Tim said, men would be characterized by that self-love and pride. You can also see it by going to Revelation chapter 3, where the church of Laodicea represents the final stage of the church age. It was a very self-satisfied church. It was spiritually impoverished. They thought they had all the money, all the programs, all the wealth, but they were very lukewarm in their faith. And Tim, that is exactly what Western churches are like today.
It really is, and it seems to summarize where we see ourselves in this society, let alone the rest of the world. Jesus also said that when the world is coming to an end, in other words, just prior to his return, society would resemble the days of Noah. That's in Luke chapter 17. And we know what Noah's days were like. The world was filled with violence, immorality, and indifference even to God's warnings. Noah himself was a preacher of righteousness, and yet the world scoffed until they couldn't tread water anymore.
You know, it's interesting that when the Lord talks about the days of Noah, he said that they thought about evil thoughts and intentions all the time. Can you imagine that? An entire society obsessed with evil. And so we got to go then back to the Bible and look, is there going to be a national pre-rapture revival? Is that a biblical teaching? And folks, again, Tim and I have to say, no, not in this church age. Again, the final phase of the church age would be spiritually poor, not very deep. You can go to Joel 2, for instance, it describes a latter outpouring of rain. And we have seen that, and I would say, Tim, dribs and drabs around the world. But I think the real revival that the Bible's prophesying with the latter rains actually has to do with the tribulation time period after the rapture of the church.
Yeah, we know that there will be a great awakening by some during the tribulation. Of course, many of those people who finally come to the end of themselves and put their faith in Christ will be martyred. We know that is true. We know that Israel, speaking of God's intention for the tribulation, will come to the end of itself, but 2/3 of the Jews will be killed. And Nathan, I appreciate what you said about the latter rain that Joel speaks of in chapter 2. Obviously, we do see showers, if you will, where the Spirit is falling in different locations. My own home state of Kentucky, just a few years ago, there was a widespread outbreak at Asbury University. It had had one many years ago. There seemed to be another one here more recently, and it seemed genuine. But even as I say that, the word seem is because the true test is whether or not that quick upspringing of spiritual revival lasts in the lives of those who claim that they were revived in that moment. Do they continue to bear fruit throughout their lives, or do they rise up and then fade away very quickly? We do see some anecdotal signs where that is happening in individual lives, yes, sometimes in individual localities, but nationally, we just don't think our culture is poised to move in that direction.
Yeah, we can point to the last two Great Awakenings, but we got to remember the Great Awakenings came out of a Judeo-Christian society, a society that wasn't in rebellion against God. But today, our society is in open rebellion against God. You can't revive what is already dead. So despite this dire diagnosis, we fully expect the Holy Spirit will continue transforming individual lives. Men and women are going to embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. At times, gatherings of people will be convicted as the Holy Spirit moves and ministers mightily. This is the hope that motivates us to urgent evangelism.
You know, and we have seen, as we mentioned in the introduction, I think you did, that following the Charlie Kirk assassination, and that's really what it was, there was a great upsurgence of young people indicating, I'm going to be like Charlie, I'm going to be bold in my faith, especially at a lot of young men. And we take great encouragement by that fact. Will that last? And will those people become as fervent in their faith as Charlie himself was? We pray that they will. But that is why we are intentional, even as we proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ, about having our message be gospel-centered and always encouraging those who would claim the name of Christ to actually act out on their faith, to be urgent about sharing the gospel, and to live holy lives. So that's what we're calling Christians to do, and we are trying to urge those who have not yet put their faith in Christ to flee from the wrath to come. Again, a gospel-centered effort, which is all about creating a revival in individual hearts. And really, Nathan, that's how the Lord works, is in individuals. Sometimes that happens in such a miraculous way that it becomes really a movement, either locally or infrequently at a national level.
Absolutely. Folks, our job is to scatter seed. Our privilege and joy is to praise the one who provided the seed and to make it grow. So if a national revival is unlikely, what about a revolution as modern culture clashes with Judeo-Christian heritage? Well, we're going to address that and share the only genuine hope available right after we return with this segment that's called What's Really Going On? Stay with us.
there's a simple key to understanding Bible prophecy, and it's found in Revelation 19:10, which says, "The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Everything God has revealed in the Bible points to Jesus from the beginning to the end times. Indeed, all of human history is His story. And the future is His as well, because Jesus is returning soon. Find out more when you go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Well, as we talk about what's really going on here in the year 2026, we are less than 1 week away from the 25th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Immediately after these tragic events, many people anticipated a revival. Nathan, I actually remember the members of Congress, both Democrat and Republican, standing on the steps of the Capitol singing God Bless America. And I thought, well, perhaps these people will get their act together and stop bickering and arguing about nonsense and actually work together for the good of the country. Perhaps there will be a spiritual revival. And church attendance did increase for a brief moment. But those numbers dropped soon after, and people went back to their normal lives.
Yeah, I think all of us who were alive at that time can remember what was happening. I had just had a newborn. My daughter was only a few days old. I went to work, and everybody was standing around the television watching the news. And I called my wife. I said, "Heather, we are under attack." And I was supposed to fly to Kentucky that week. And they had, of course, they canceled all the flights. And do you remember looking up in the sky and not seeing any contrails at all up there whatsoever for days? And you as a pilot, Tim, back in that day, you probably weren't allowed to fly, right, unless it was a military related. So it was really surreal during that time. So it was almost expected that there was going to be a spiritual revival. As the whole world changes, people get scared and they bend a knee and they turn to the Lord. But you're absolutely right. I think, within a month, everyone was back to normal.
You know, and that's why we point back to Matthew 13, where the Lord talked about spreading seed. And we said in the previous segment, Nathan and I try to spread seed very intentionally through radio, through our television program, through all of our outreach, always gospel-oriented as we're proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ. And we trust that the Holy Spirit will let that seed spring up to life. He is the one who germinates the seeds in real, you know, farming, and He's the one who germinates these spiritual seeds. But Jesus said that some will spring up and quickly wither away because they lack any root. I think what we saw right after 9/11, and perhaps we'll see whether or not this is true about the Charlie Kirk aftermath, is there are many who spring up quickly, but do they last or do they fade away because there is no root? And the challenge for our society is we have cut off our Judeo-Christian roots, not you and me and not our listeners, I hope, but as a society, we've almost purposely been divorced from that root system. And so what is there to take root in here in our culture? It's very concerning and challenging, and that's why, again, we want to be intentional about spreading seed, but it's going to take the Holy Spirit to really fertilize and germinate and cause fruit to be produced long term.
Absolutely. I remember growing up, my mother talking about when President Kennedy was assassinated. She said it felt like the country lost its innocence and that they had just moved into a new era. And of course, we saw so much upheaval in the 60s, quite a changing morally negatively during the 60s. Tim, I think that was pretty much just like 9/11. It would seem like the country should be pulled back to the Lord. We've seen since that time a growing political and cultural rift in our country. We've seen signs of the times are becoming more evident, especially spiritual decline, apostasy in the church, even anti-Semitism growing here and worldwide. I feel like that, like my mother did, that 9/11 was a time where that generation lost its innocence.
Yeah, I think we've had episodes like that even since. You think of things that many people would seem as singular moments in their own young life, whether it was Vietnam or Watergate, losing faith in the government, whether it was the Challenger explosion, which we're coming up on an anniversary of that as well, 9/11 we've mentioned, the Charlie Kirk assassination. All of these moments, I think the Lord would allow us to be reflective as a society. And again, it should bring us to our knees, and as we use the phrase, to the end of ourselves. But for so many, they just go right about their business. And so will the Lord give us another major wake-up call? You know, I think, Nathan, of Nineveh and how Jonah was sent to warn that city. There was about to be great devastation, an outpouring of God's wrath and His judgment, and the entire society repented from the king on down. The king even ordered that the livestock should be covered in sackcloth and ash, demonstrating that the entire country would repent of its wickedness, and the Lord relented of His judgment. Have we seen that level of repenting here in our nation, even with the so-called national days of prayer and things like that?
No. I think we're at that end time prophecy where they'd have the form of godliness but deny its power. And that's just what the Bible prophesied. Folks, stay with us. We're going to come back for another segment. Stay with us.
In addition to this broadcast, Christ in Prophecy offers a fascinating weekly TV program that digs deeper into God's prophetic word. Christ in Prophecy TV airs on several networks and online to give you a biblical perspective on unfolding events. Find out what's happening with AI, Middle Eastern politics, the United States, and so much more when you watch Christ in Prophecy TV, available now at christinprophecy.org.
Well, welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. I'm Nathan Jones. I'm here with Tim Moore, and we're looking at revival or revolution. We've addressed the spiritual signs of the end times, both good and bad, and established what the Bible says about society and the church in the end times. Is something else about to happen? Could we be on the cusp of a revolution? Tim, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think when we talk about a revolution as opposed to a revival, we have to weigh the fact that we are engaged in a spiritual war. The Bible makes that very clear. And our enemy, Satan, is constantly in a battle for hearts and minds. I think sometimes even within the church, we forget that our eternal foe is angling for every individual he can, every soul he can, and the Lord God would will that none should perish, but all would come to faith in Christ, and yet people are given free will. And so if we really understood the stakes, if we understood the spiritual dynamics of these dark forces at play all around us, we would realize that we are at war. And so a revolution, well, the revolution is happening before our eyes as this formerly Judeo-Christian society turns its back on God. Are we on the cusp of yet another downturn? Well, all you have to do is look around to see the sudden increase in appeal of people like the Democratic Socialist in various places. New York City now has an avowed Islamist Democrat Socialist, really a communist, as the mayor of the most prosperous city in the United States, at least traditionally. I think that's a very negative sign, but it's one that does not surprise God and doesn't take him off, unawares at all.
It's not a revolution of flags and firearms, but of hearts turned against God. You know, Tim, we can go to Romans 1, for instance, which lays out the pattern of suppressing the truth. When people exchange the creator for the creation and start worshiping the creation, you could see a progressive immorality growing in society. And each time that society says, God, I don't want you in it, the Lord steps back. And it's called, folks, abandonment wrath. God gives us abandonment wrath when we say, hey, we don't want you in our lives. Unfortunately, sin has terrible, devastating effects, and if the Lord's not there to protect us from them, we fall into that abandonment wrath, and we're seeing that in our day and age.
I think the important thing for us to weigh is not just making note of what's happening in our society. You can sit back as a casual observer and a dispassionate observer. We obviously live here, and so we want to seek the welfare of the very city, the state, and the nation in which we live, even if it is increasingly pagan. Just as Jeremiah told the exiles in Babylon to seek the welfare of that city while they lived there. And how do we seek the welfare? Well, not only the prosperity and the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans, but we want to seek the welfare of every person we come in contact with, which means introducing them to the person of Jesus Christ so that they too may be saved. So how should we as Christians respond to this revolution? Well, obviously we should continue with urgent evangelism and holy living. We should not just abandon our task, which is a great commission by Jesus Christ himself to share the good news of the gospel of Christ. And Jesus essentially asked this question, talking in a parable form, are we bearing fruit 100-fold, 60, or 30? Because if all we're doing is bearing the knowledge we have in a bushel so that we can give it back to him upon his arrival, I don't think he will find us faithful or say, well done. We need to invest even the gifts, the talents, yes, and the knowledge of Christ that we have in other lives.
Absolutely, Tim. You know, folks, it does sound like we're being kind of depressing here and saying, yes, there's no revival in the last days of the church age. But That's just because the end times Bible prophecy shows that the world is moving towards the Antichrist beast system. But that doesn't mean the church is done with. We're here, folks, until the Lord calls us up home to heaven. So we need to get out there. One of my favorite illustrations, Tim, is the only Bible some people ever read is your life. And so, folks, that's a question for us as Christians. Are we living Christ-like? When people look at us, they say, hey, there's something different about that person. I need to know about Jesus Christ. So there is time. There are still Christians who haven't been saved. Folks, you know there are people who haven't been saved yet because the rapture will happen when everyone in the church age has been saved. So it could be your neighbor. It could be your family member. We need to live holy lives, and our holy lives are an act of evangelism.
They certainly are. And yet, we also need to share in words the truth of the gospel. Folks, it can seem daunting and overwhelming, and that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to keep us demoralized, discouraged, and defeated. But all we have to do is be faithful to share the good news that was shared with us, and the Lord only knows where those seeds will germinate and produce much fruit, maybe 30, maybe 60, maybe 100-fold. If we are faithful, God will be faithful. And for every person we reach and embraces Jesus Christ, that's another one that is saved.
That's why we need to stand on the Word of God, Tim. One of these things that we're seeing in our time period is many people stepping back and being cowed by society. But if we stand for the Word of God, people say, hey, there's something different about that person again, and they're drawn towards Jesus Christ, a strong faith, not a weak and wishy-washy faith.
No, strong faith. And so to quote from Psalm 119, therefore stand on the Word of God. From 1 Thessalonians 5, pray without ceasing. Yes, for our nation, for Israel, and for the harvest, and for the privilege of being a part of God's work here in this world in this day and age. And then to cite from Ephesians 4 and 1 Thessalonians 5, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, but walk in step with Him. God would will that every person would be saved, and so it is our privilege and responsibility to be conduits of that good news and that joyful blessing that they can participate in. And finally, keep your eyes on Jesus, not on polls, not on politicians, not on the chaos. Turn your eyes on Jesus and look full in His wonderful face.
One of my favorite hymns. Well, the temptation in dark times is a look for a human hero, a political deliverer, a great revival that reverses our decline. But Bible prophecy doesn't promise us a golden age before the rapture. What it does promise is the return of the King. And our job is to be found faithful until He comes, sharing the gospel, standing for truth, and living in the hope of His soon appearing. Well, folks, stay with us for Tim's final word of encouragement.
Here at Christ in Prophecy, we want everyone to know that Jesus is coming back, and He doesn't want His people to be unprepared. So, to stay up to date about unfolding events, get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, and dig deeper into God's prophetic word, check out our free bi-weekly Lamplighter magazine. You can easily sign up to have Lamplighter magazine delivered directly to your email inbox when you go to christinprophecy.org. Sign up today.
I grew up hearing about the great awakenings of our nation's past. Recently, we've even had movies made about some of those awakenings, and these were seasons when God swept across the land and thousands turned to Christ. And I'll confess, there's a part of me that still longs for that. When I see the spiritual hunger in the eyes of a young person, when I hear of a campus where students are on their knees at 2 a.m, I feel that longing stir once again. Maybe this time, Lord. I'm encouraged by churches like Nineveh in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, where the church was named after the city that had the greatest revival in all human history. And so the hope is there, even in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, there would be a great revival. But here's what God's Word tells me. We are not waiting for a great awakening to come. We are watching for the signs of the times. The trajectory described in 2 Timothy, in Revelation, and in the words of Jesus Himself does not point to a national renewal before the rapture. It points to increasing darkness and to the imminent return of the light of the world. So what does this mean for us? Well, it means we do not put our hope in any party, platform, or politician. Certainly, you should be engaged, vote, and be salt and light. Seek the welfare of this nation. But do not place the weight of your soul's expectation on an election outcome. History will not be rescued by a midterm election. What we have instead is far better. We have a blessed hope. Jesus Christ is coming back. He is coming first for His church in the rapture, and every believer will be caught up to meet Him in the air. This is the promise of the living God. If you have never settled your eternal destination, if you instead have been relying on a political outcome, a cultural renewal, or your own goodness, this is the moment of decision. Jesus is the only hope that cannot disappoint. Turn to Him today, and if you know Him, keep your eyes on the eastern sky, because our redemption does draw near. Godspeed.